This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue on in Galatians with Paul opposes Peter, crucified with Christ. Abraham believed God. The difference between the law and the gospel, and priority of the promise. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Man shall not live by bread alone,
but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.
Behold, now is the favorable time.
Behold, now is the day of salvation.
He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth.
And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Thank you.
Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to put him to death, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot, who was of the number of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he consented and sought an opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of a crowd. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying,
"Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it."
They said to him,
"Where will you have us prepare it?"
"Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters, and tell the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there."
And they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, he reclined at table and the apostles with him. And he said to them,
"I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God."
And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said,
"Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes."
And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying,
"This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying,
"This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed."
And they began to question one another which of them it could be who was going to do this.
Thank you.
dispute also arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. And he said to them,
"The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. For who is the greater, one who reclines at table or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? But I am among you as the one who serves. You are those who have stayed with me in my trials, and I assign to you, as my Father assigned to me, a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers."
Peter said to him,
"Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death."
"I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me."
And then he said to them,
"When I sent you out with no money bag or knapsack or sandals, did you lack anything?"
They said,
"Nothing."
"But now let the one who has a money bag take it, and likewise a knapsack. And let the one who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me, 'And he was numbered with the transgressors.' For what is written about me has its fulfillment."
And they said,
"Look, Lord, here are two swords."
"It is enough."
And he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them,
"Pray that you may not enter into temptation."
And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying,
"Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done."
And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them,
"Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray, that you may not enter into temptation."
Dear friends, Luke invites us to the Passion as to a play, the theater of our salvation. For us here in Cramer Chapel, there will be intermissions, but we dare not look away or linger too long in the lobby. What kind of play is this? Herod, sitting upon the throne of scoffers, thinks it's a comedy. Jesus, the pretender, is dragged in and dressed up for his amusement. And indeed, there will be much laughter at our Lord's expense. The cackles are cruel and sinister, the marriage of ignorance and evil. But underneath the drama, there is a war against powers and principalities, against spiritual wickedness in places higher than Herod's throne. Luke offers us a glimpse behind the curtain. The garden serpent hisses in the shadows, prowls like a devouring lion. But for all his stealth and scheming, Satan is the one being played. The lamb, more innocent than a dove, will prove himself shrewder than the serpent. The lamb, lowly and meek, will prove himself the lion of Judah, the leader of the pride. The devil is drawn into a trap, like a bee to honey, like a murderer to blood. But this is the Passover of God, for which we shall offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Watch and wince, squirm and cry, but know that all these things are happening according to divine necessity, in fulfillment of the law, prophets, and psalms. Eve's grandson has come to crush Satan's head and smash open the gates to paradise. Mary's child, conceived on this day, has come to occupy David's throne. The star of our show is the Savior of the world, the one of whom the angels sang, the one whose triumphal entry was accompanied by a chorus of peace in heaven. Along the way, we will meet a two-faced Judas, a wavering Peter, an indecisive Pontius Pilate, a thankful thief. See an ear cut off and put back into place. Jesus remains physician and benefactor, offering up body for you, blood for you. Luke calls us to rise from our slumber, but he himself is not woke. He doesn't dwell on the faults and foibles of those who came before him. He is much too thankful for that. As Luke tells the story of our Lord's birth, so also does he have in mind the birth of the church. Luke knows all about Peter stumbling, but also knows that that same Peter would turn, strengthen his brothers, and become the preacher of a new Pentecost. If the disciples are afraid, we can well understand, but our Lord encourages them. You are those who have stayed with me in my trials, and I assign to you, as my Father assigned to me, a kingdom. So Luke does not pile on. If Gethsemane disciples sleep, they sleep from grief. Strengthened, they watched, riveted by the unfolding events. They somehow know that the Lord's fate may be their own. Christ kneels, he prays for his enemies. Stephen takes note, as do the apostles. But now we might ask, is there passion in Luke's passion? He seems so level-headed and resolute. Luke tells us nothing about Christ falling on his face, nothing about being overwhelmed with grief, being sorrowful unto death. And we can understand. Our Lord has been preparing for his death all his life. Our Lord had long ago set his face towards Jerusalem. Steadfast and focused, our Savior has come to save. Is there passion in Luke's passion? To call our Lord a stoic would miss the mark. He is clear-headed, but he is not cold-hearted. Our Lord fulfills his Father's will, but burns from inside. I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Our Lord is like a boxer, gloves on and taped, ready for the rumble. Satan enters the ring and our Lord says, "Game on. Let the sweat flow like drops of blood." Why does he fight? Epithumia, epithumesa. With passionate desire, I have passionately desired to eat the Passover with you. We may not be able to warm the hearts of our people to make them always hungry for the supper, but our Lord is driven by it. It is not enough to give us his gifts, not enough to rain down manna from heaven. Our Lord has come to suffer that he might recline with us at the table he has set, that he might dine with tax collectors and sinners, whose sins he forgives, whose souls he has come to redeem. For he came not to simply to save us from our sin, he came to save us for himself, that we might enjoy his company, and he might, it is strange to say, enjoy ours. And so it is. The Lord's Supper is not just a means of grace or a temporary provision along the way. It is the goal, what our Lord has wanted all along, since the very first day he walked in a more pleasant garden. So great is his passion. To be continued.
Prayers, we remember Patricia Arnold, mother of seminarian Jeff Arnold, who is in the ICU. O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
hear us.
God the Father in heaven,
have mercy.
God the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy.
God the Holy Spirit,
have mercy.
Be gracious to us.
Spare us, O Lord.
Be gracious to us.
Help us, O Lord.
From all sin, from all error, from all evil, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, from sudden and evil death, from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and from rebellion, from lightning and tempest, from all calamity by fire and water, and from everlasting death. By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. In all time of our tribulation, in all time of all prosperity, in the hour of death, and in the day of judgment, we poor sinners implore you to rule and govern your holy Christian church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, and to sustain them in holy living, to put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived, to beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers into your harvest, and to accompany your word and your grace and spirit. To raise those who fall and to strengthen those who stand, and to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed. To give to all peoples conquered in peace, to preserve our land from discord and strife, to give our country your protection in every time of need, to direct and defend our president and all in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all our people, to watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect and guide all who travel, to grant all women with child and all mothers with infant children increasing happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them, to strengthen and keep sick all sick persons, including Patricia, and young children, to free those in bondage, and to have mercy on us all. To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts, to give and preserve for our use the kindly fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. O Christ, O Lord, O Christ, O Lord. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and Merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve us.
Amen.